This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only. Hello, welcome to this episode in this series on diabetes care. I'm your host, Professor Francesco Giorgino, a professor of endocrinology and chairman of the Department of Precision and Regenerative Medicine in the Ionian area at University of Bari Aldo Moro in Bari, Italy. Before we dive into this month's podcast, I need to give you some important information. This podcast is an educational activity, and so it is accredited for up to 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. You can claim your credits by answering the pre- and post-activity questions that are located at diabetes.knowledgeintopractice.com. If you are listening in a podcast app, there is a helpful link to this in the episode notes. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk, who have no influence on the content or faculty. On the 14th of November this year, and like every year, it was World Diabetes Day. To celebrate this, we have chosen to discuss a topic that is often ignored but not overly considered when providing healthcare, and that is a person's culture. Our culture influences our beliefs and worldviews, which can affect diabetes care. This is because a patient's culture can impact how they approach their own health and what they are willing to accept in terms of treatment. As an example, a commonly reported barrier to patient use of insulin is patients' perception of insulin. Use of insulin can be perceived as having failed to take care of themselves, that the disease is at the last stage, or there might be an underlying fear of injections. Other barriers can be family, social factors, or religion. On the other hand, as physicians are always required to form relationships with people different from ourselves. And this can be challenging, especially when we don't know and we don't have a good understanding of a person's background and worldview. So as the world is becoming increasingly culturally diverse, this episode will look into how we can ensure we can interact with our patients with respect, sensitivity, and knowledge of their culture in order to overcome potential obstacles and provide the patients with the best possible care for their diabetes. Here to discuss this important topic is Dr. Alice Chang. Dr. Chang is an endocrinologist at Trillium Health Partners and Unity Health Toronto and an associate professor at University of Toronto in Canada. Dr. Chang has been involved in the development of Diabetes Canada clinical practice guidelines since 2003 and is the creator of the MedEd Pledge, which is an initiative to increase diversity and inclusion in continuing medical education. She's also currently a co-host of the Diabetes Care On Air podcast by the American Diabetes Association's premier clinical research journal, Diabetes Care. As ever, you will be able to find links to our disclosures in the episode notes. Dr. Chen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Francesco. It's a real pleasure.
So let's start by discussing how a person's culture can impact their diabetes management. Can you elaborate on this further?
Absolutely. So if we start by asking ourselves, what exactly is culture? And I thought I would sort of look that up online and see what the official definition is. But it's defined as the ideas, customs, and social behavior of a particular people or society. Now, if you think about it, all of those things, ideas, customs, social behaviors, are going to have a tremendous impact on one's health. There are very practical things, such as the type of food or drink that people eat or drink, the timing of the meals that they have, routine physical activity and sports may be different. And there's also bigger picture things like belief systems and beliefs surrounding health, beliefs around medications or surgeries, what it means to actually have a disease, and also cultural norms when dealing with healthcare professionals. So, for example, in some cultures, it would be considered quite rude to ever disagree or question anyone's physician or healthcare team. But then that, of course, is going to impact on his communication. So then you're going to have a patient who will nod and agree with everything that you're saying, when in fact, inside, they may have questions and maybe doubting what you're in fact suggesting. And it may be considered rude to disagree. So these are things that we need to be able to recognize so that we're able to truly have shared decision-making with the people that we're serving.
Thank you. That's very useful. Let's move to a very specific concept. Sometimes we hear people refer to the idea of culture competence. What is the meaning of culture competence?
So cultural competence can be defined as the integration of knowledge about individuals and groups of people into specific standards or policies or practices and attitudes that will increase the quality of services, thereby hopefully producing better outcomes. In other words, it is the ability to understand and respect the beliefs, values, histories, and practices of individuals from all cultural backgrounds. And this is something that all of us should strive to have, which is this concept of cultural competence.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Chen. So why is this cultural competence important in diabetes care?
So to answer that, I'm going to broaden it a bit more and just ask, why is it important in healthcare in general? Because then, of course, that would apply to diabetes care specifically. By understanding and respecting someone's culture, interpersonal interactions can certainly improve, which then builds trust and may help to reduce some of the biases that we have that can lead to things like misdiagnoses or suboptimal treatments. This, in turn, hopefully, can lead to improve patient outcomes, as well as reduced care disparities that we know certainly exist in every country for certain groups. Now, this is particularly impactful when we're considering diabetes care. So things like food choices, physical activity, medications play vital roles in the management of diabetes. And all of these things are impacted by one's culture and cultural norms. And if we fail to recognize and respect those differences, the advice we give can be way off the mark. So the most obvious example is around dietary advice. For example, in a typical Chinese meal, I'm Chinese, so in a typical Chinese meal, we do not have each a plate of food. That's not how we eat. We would have a bowl. There would be lots of dishes that we're all sharing as a table. And therefore, for someone to then try to teach me the concept of portion sizes of vegetables, protein, and starch based on a plate model would have no meaning to me and would not resonate, since I do not eat off of a plate. So those very simple, practical things would then negatively impact the ability to sort of share that advice. And then, of course, there's the actual food choices themselves. So trying to tell someone from a Chinese background to replace white rice with cauliflower rice, for example, would likely elicit some very interesting reactions, none of which would be agreement. So I think that these are just a few examples of how cultural competence is important in diabetes care and recognizing who your audience is, and therefore trying to figure out how the advice could be framed within the context of how they live.
Thank you. That's very clear. And as a last question, do you have any advice for how a physician can overcome psychological or cultural differences and improve cultural competence to help personalize diabetes care?
So I think the first step, as always, to address any gap is to acknowledge that there is a gap and believing that closing that gap is, in fact, worthwhile. Some practical things that one could try to do is ensuring language accessibility. Many of us have traditionally used relatives as interpreters, but we all know that is fraught with all sorts of problems from a family dynamics perspective, but also just the accuracy of the translation. And therefore, having access to more formal interpretation services is definitely preferred. And frankly, in this day and age, with the devices that we have, there are all sorts of instant translation electronic apps that we could use that could allow for more direct communication between the healthcare professional and the patient so that we, again, we can build that trust and build that relationship. If you're part of a team of healthcare professionals, then trying to build the team such that it reflects the diversity of whatever community you're serving can be hugely beneficial. And for those who are interested in taking courses, there's all sorts of courses online that one could take. So for example, in the United States, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services actually have an online program. It's a Physician's Practical Guide to Culturally Competent Care. And here at home in Canada, again, I just did an online search looking at cultural competence in healthcare in Canada, and there were all sorts of certified courses that one could take to improve their cultural competence. And as well, I think medical school curricula are now evolving to include cultural competency in their training programs. But on an individual level, I think it's about asking, reading, and most importantly, listening. I think those are critical to learn about other cultures. And here's where the concept of cultural humility comes in. So we talk about cultural competency, but the other, I think, very important concept that's perhaps being pushed a little bit more now is cultural humility. Because we can be trained about facts with respect to a certain culture, which is useful and reflects cultural competency. However, those facts do not necessarily apply to every individual that you see from that culture. And furthermore, a given individual may fit into many different quote-unquote groups or cultures that can shape their beliefs and values. So therefore, we have to remain humble, hence the term cultural humility, in our interactions. And cultural humility refers to the process of self-reflection, appreciation of the patient's expertise, addressing that power balance and dedication to learning. So in other words, we need to recognize our own beliefs, values, and biases. We need to listen to the person's lived experience and learn from it. And we need to build a partnership with the person to allow for a treatment plan to be built together. And this is very much the idea of person-centered care, which is really highlighted from guidelines all around the world. And to boil it down, it's really being aware, asking questions, listening, and adapting.
Great. So this brings us to the end of this episode. Again, thank you very much, Dr. Chen. Thank you, Alice, for these wonderful insights. You can find a link to the Diabetes Knowledge into Practice website in the episode notes. On this website, you will be able to claim CME credits for this episode and find more free resources to support your learning in diabetes. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review or rating to help other people find the podcast. If you found this episode useful, then stay tuned also for episode 5, where we'll be asking if there are any effective strategies for encourage behavior changes in people with diabetes and strong religious, cultural, or social values. I very much look forward to that. So thank you very much for listening.